Growing up in Southern California, it was very easy for me to get dressed every day. The weather didn't change much, and I could look outside, see how I felt, and dress accordingly. Heck, I was even the type of person in elementary school to wear my pink puffer jacket in the fall simply because I could. That being said, the weather was never a huge problem for me. I would get up, put on whatever, as long as it was fashionable, whatever that meant in my mind at the time, go to school, and live my life happily. That is until I moved to Wisconsin, and suddenly the weather actually mattered. I had to check it every morning, and God forbid it was wrong. So by the time I was a teenager to an adult, I doubted the ability of the weather service, and that is why I do not fully believe in meteorology. Hello, and welcome to Jackie On, a podcast where I, Jackie, talk about my opinions on a bunch of different topics. This episode is Jackie on meteorology, and why I'm not a fan of it as a whole. Anyone who knows me will see this coming. I do not believe in meteorology. Now, I believe in the weather, most definitely. I feel it when it rains, it snows, and burns, no doubt. What I do have doubts about is specifically, very specifically, the profession of trying to guess the weather. I am a woman of science. I strongly believe in the advent of scientific discovery and information. I believe most things can be traced scientifically, but I can draw a line, and the line I draw is weather prediction. Now, there are exceptions to this I will discuss, and for the most part, my gripe is about daily weather predictions, and not at all about trying to predict natural disasters, how bad they're going to be, and relief efforts associated around that, but instead around the everyday weather that you and I wake up to and try to base our dress off of. But let me start off with some earlier studies and context about what meteorology is and how it actually predicts weather. Meteorologist Ed Lorenz in the 1950s discovered something he termed chaos theory, in which, after running a number of predictions, if the numbers were changed even a tiny bit, for example, rounded in his model, then he realized the data further out from the time of the sample would be drastically different. So let's say, for example, that I have a certain number and I try to estimate the weather is based off of that specific amount of data. It will give me one answer. Let's say I round that number even slightly. Now, the same exact 10-day forecast will look drastically different by the 8th, 9th, or 10th day. Lorenz realized that this implies there's always a limit to how far ahead the weather can be forecasted, since the starting numbers and values might not always be known. It's a bit like physics, unfortunately, in that you cannot know the position and the speed of a particle simultaneously, which is Heisenberg's uncertainty principle. Even with the supercomputers that are used for meteorology today, this same constraint exists since we can't know everything, even with billions of data points. While I'm very begrudging about this, but I do kind of like this side of meteorology, since I'm a strong believer in the concept that not everything can be known, and science often does a bad job of trying to combat this by asserting that there's no limit to what the human mind is able to glean about the universe. Science likes to think that we can know everything or even try, no matter how unlikely, and I personally don't believe that's possible, and that's okay that it's not possible, and meteorology shares a similar idea. So for that and that alone, I will respect it. But basically, to get back on track, finding the possibility of it raining, essentially, how that happens, what a meteorologist does is use ensemble forecasts, which are basically just the same supercomputer tests, but completed from a variety of different starting numbers and details. The closer they are together, like the closer these starting details are to the expected end result, the more confident one can be about whether it will actually rain or not. There are two ways you can interpret the chance of rain. Let's say it's 40%. That might mean that in 40% of simulations, it suggested it would rain. Or it could also mean that in 40% of the days that have the same starting numbers as the same specific day you're having, it will rain. So, for example, if I took the weather conditions, whatever air pressure that meteorologists analyze, and ran a simulation on it, in 40% of those days that had the same similar numbers, it ended up raining, which means it's a 40% chance of rain. Or if I ran a simulation on the exact data of the day, and in 40% of those simulations it said it would rain, then that chance is 40%. However, this is just what the Royal Meteorological Society has reported. Wow, that kind of is a mouthful to say. But a lot of agencies do this differently, so there's not one standard, and this is all within a certain time span. So if it's all day, there's a 40% chance of 0.01 inch of rain over the entire day. So a lot of these percentages and numbers you get are really just from someone inputting data, or at this point, a sensors gathering data and feeding it to a computer, and then people just interpreting what that data might mean, which I guess at the end of the day is science. But I don't know. I feel like if you're just getting data and feeding it to a computer, I don't see why the meteorologist seems like a middleman to me. And I feel like this is why I've seen people online claim that meteorology is a pseudoscience. However, other people claim that it's based on structured layers of data and understanding. The only problem is that it's so complex and we don't have all the information that we need to actually figure it out. Now, this might be true, and sure, I believe it based on the science I know, but that doesn't mean I have to like it. And now, let me bring you to another gripe I have, which is news weather forecasters. Some people get real joy out of presenting weather findings to the public. They study computer simulations, analyze the data, and then speak in front of a TV. Fantastic. I'm not trying to yuck anyone's yum, but that sounds so incredibly boring and pointless. I don't personally understand why this is a job people aspire to have. Like, yes, I am being quite harsh right now, but that doesn't scream top job to me. And I know that every single meteorologist who hears this will be seething inside because most of the ones I've met are so pretentious about the weather. They've all started their own little news channels on their own social media talking about different weather patterns you may or may not observe, which is great, but the world doesn't need 40,000 meteorologists. That is my take. It's open for interpretation. It's I don't know what to interpret, but it's open for disagreement, let me say. I think that's a better way to put it. But there's another thing I want to talk about that makes me even more frustrated than news weather forecasters, and it's that I have a little book that I use to write the events of my day in. It's a fun little habit I've done since about 2019, and I now have a journal full of what I do every day. It's an attempt to be more objective than anything else. But for it, I often look up the weather of the day and write it down. There have been numerous days that I check the weather forecast and see that it's supposed to rain. The day passes, and there's no rain. And when at, let's say, 11 p.m., I go to write the weather down, instead of saying clear, cloudy, or even sunny, it will say scattered thunderstorms in my weather report for the day, despite the fact that not even a single drop of rain has fallen. And if a drop of rain did fall, if a 0.01 inches had fallen, I would not call that a thunderstorm. I would call that lightly raining. This is ridiculous. You can't tell me what's going to happen, and you can't tell me what has already happened. To me, it makes no sense, and it might be more of the formatting of the weather app I use, but based on what I understand and know, I don't like it very much. And I do want to admit that there is another layer to weather predictions changing and not being accurate, and that is climate change, that there's a lot of factors that change faster than we can keep up with. But I am currently staying in my lane as a hater in this moment and not as giving rationale to why I might be wrong in my dislike. And then as I mentioned before, I feel like the one area I support and don't dislike meteorology on is specifically for danger zones. Natural disasters, risk, all of those things. I feel like that is one realm where meteorologists have a standout job and can make a real difference. I'm not going to say being able to track or predict a heavy storm is a bad thing, but there have been times when those predictions have been wrong. A lot of examples are a bit old, so we're definitely getting better at this. But for example, in 1987, the UK had the Great Storm, where an on-air forecaster downplayed the intensity of a storm, which left people unprepared and resulted in 18 deaths. There have been less dramatic ones where big events were going on and it was predicted awful weather, making shops prepare themselves and people stay at home, only for nothing to happen. So I guess meteorologists either have something against fun, or they're trying to be overly cautious, which I do understand. But the one specifically about the Great Storm rubs me the wrong way a little bit, because it's specifically not just a weather forecaster wrong. It was an on-air forecaster who downplayed the storm's intensity. It was someone whose job it was to present the news and the storm to someone in a good way that ended up making it so people were not prepared for it to happen. Now, every single field does have mistakes, and they can lead to disaster and death. I am certainly not blaming meteorology alone for being super mistake-ridden, or even saying that that news forecaster is the worst human alive. But in a field where you're essentially trusting a computer running simulations on whether X or Y will happen, there is bound to be mistakes. And this is a lesson, as we go into more tech-ridden era, that too much reliance, even in the past, is dangerous. And so when we just run computer simulations and call it good, and then say, oh yeah, here's the data this computer simulation is saying, this must happen, it is a little, I don't know, it feels a little off to me. And I low-key trust my Waffle House more. In fact, FEMA even created a Waffle House index based on the hours a Waffle House is open to track how bad a natural disaster has gotten. If the Waffle House is open, you're fine. If it has limited hours, you should probably hunker up. And if, God forbid, the Waffle House closes, you better run for the hills. So, while I won't be trusting any weather predictions anytime soon, I will begrudgingly admit that meteorology and meteorologists try their best. And that may mean that if I look at the weather app in the morning to predict the weather for the day, and it tells me that it's going to rain, and I bring an umbrella and it doesn't rain, well, you know what? At least I was prepared for it. Or maybe I'll just move somewhere where the weather doesn't change again. The jury's still out on that. Thanks for tuning into this episode. I'll catch you in the next one.